This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
Hello. Hello, listeners. Welcome. Welcome.
Hit that like, punch that subscribe, five stars, give us 5 stars on iTunes.
You really saved me there, Nick.
Go on to fucking iTunes now, and I'm not even fucking with you, right? I'm not even fucking around, right? I want you to get off your fucking computer, and I want you to go back onto your computer and get into iTunes, and I want
load
you to
up
give
iTunes.
Us 5 stars. I'm very quiet in my ears, Natalie. And I want you to give us 5 stars on iTunes. Nathaniel pointed out what was that? Nathaniel pointed out what the fuck was that? No, this is a radio show. Nathaniel pointed out that we normally talk about giving us 5 stars halfway through the show, long after people have stopped listening. But this week, I am absolutely insistent that you stop what you're doing now. We will wait, and you will go away, and you will give us 5 stars. We're not going to beg like pathetic podcasts, but what we will do is we will insist.
Insist. Demand it.
5 stars. No, none of this 4-star bullshit like them two cunts. We've got 94 reviews. 92 5-star reviews and
reviews.
2 4-star reviews, unofficial. They are official, but we're not counting them as stuff, and I'm not even fucking around. So if we've got Cookie coming on later, Daniel Cook, Cookie's going to be on in a bit, and I'm happy to waste this first hour because before Christmas I said I would like for my Christmas wish
you did say that
100 5-star reviews,
yeah,
and
so 102 reviews in total.
We 102 reviews in total,
yeah,
right,
that's all.
Unless we got a couple of 4-star reviews, and then it would just, but I want 100 5-star reviews, yeah. And we didn't even get that. We've now rested, and even from last week, we haven't got a single extra review. It's just 92.
So that means we've got the music lined up to play the gallery music, and we've got nothing to...
Got nothing. We've got no fan mail.
Maybe
got
we should
nothing.
Just play the gallery
last
music
week,
until...
Last week, we got the presents.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Which were lovely presents. And two handwritten pieces of actual fan mail. Right, which, you know, I mean, I did call them cunts, but in actual fact, when after I'd read the fan mail, I realised that, you know, shouldn't have. But
you revoke it.
I never take back what I say yet, at this point in my career, yet. There's always like that moment when you think, actually, people have stopped coming to see me live. I should probably take back a few of the things I've said about demographics, but actually, I'm never going to take back anything yet. Anyway, so hit that like, punch that subscribe, and I'm not fucking around. 5 stars. I want 6 5-star reviews by the end of this
or
hour.
Or 5 6-star reviews.
Or just as many 5-star reviews. But if we don't get any, then Cookie is not coming on. because if we don't get the reviews by the end of the first hour, don't fuck around. I'm certainly not going to think twice about wasting the second hour.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
We're back! Hello! My name's Nick Helm, and this is...
Nathaniel Metcalf.
And you're listening to Fan...
Club.
Yes!
We've planned it.
This is Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club. First rule of Fan Club is...
Tell your
friends about Fan Club, clearly. Second rule of Fan Club is, for love of God...
Please
tell your friends.
And this week we're sponsored by Lilt, aren't we?
No, well, fucking hell. I saw that there was Levi Roots. What's this thing? What's the drink? If those of you that listen every week, last week
we were in Nisa.
Let's call the
thing off.
So NISA, 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 NISA. Did you remember that Kenny Everett? Did you ever watch Kenny Everett when you were growing up? Oh man, he was. You say potato, I say potato. You say tomato, I say tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing. It was so funny. I cried. But I was going through emotional things as well at the time. Keep it light! So Lilt. Mm-hmm. We were in NISA and we were talking about it and I saw Levi, and I would normally go in and get a Pepsi Max cherry. In the old days, I haven't done that.
Have you had Pepsi Max ginger yet?
It's disgusting.
I've not had it. Not even seen it for sale.
It's not gingery enough, I don't think, to warrant it being... It's like an aftertaste. With cherry, it's unmistakably cherry, but with ginger, it's a bit like... But then also, all of them fucking Diet Coke monstrosities. Mango. Diet Coke mango, fuck off. Diet Coke lime, actually, that's not bad. Well, no. No,
Diet Coke lime. I don't mind a mango one. I think I'm quite partial to a...
You're listening to Nick Helm's Fan Club. Get him out. I like big butts, and I cannot lie. I like Diet Coke lime.
Yeah.
I don't. Diet Coke lime is disgusting. But what I like is Diet Coke with lime. So
is it two different things?
Well, when I worked in, well, yeah, because you put.
Oh, you mean the actual bit of lime in it?
You put a bit of lime.
Sure.
Oh, you sound like me now. So what I used to do, I used to work in a pub, and I used to, my favourite Coca-Cola is post-mix, mm-hmm. where you do it out of the pump.
Mm-hmm. The syrup.
The syrup with fizzy water. And what?
Fizzy water.
Fizzy water. Oh, play with your toys, Sarah. Forget about the babe. Labyrinth. What I would do, if you pushed the trigger lightly, mm-hmm. The syrup would come out without the water.
No. Oh, what a lovely trick.
So I would put double the syrup in.
Lovely stuff.
Now I've got type 2 diabetes. No.
I do that with double concentrate. Squash and things.
If I had a soda stream, forget about it. There wouldn't be any water.
No.
I'd be doing home measures like what I do with when I mix myself an alcoholic drink. It'd be home measures. It'd be like a splash of whatever. Water or Pepsi. Pepsi Cola. But mainly it would be like a spirit of vodka or whiskey. Something like that.
Do you reckon we could get on NISA radio? Because they do have their own.
They do have their own radio.
We talk about NISA a lot.
Anyway, so back to the story. We were in
NISA again.
And I normally would get a Pepsi Max
cherry.
Yeah. But I haven't done that in like 6-7 months.
No. Classic fan club.
If you go back and listen to the early days, yeah. I used to have two.
Yeah.
Two per hour, but no.
There's fans of Fan Club that when we mention it now, cheer, because it's like a throwback. So.
Oh, mate, in the street, people...
Pepsi Max Cherry!
Pepsi Max Cherry! People, what they do is they get a bottle of Pepsi Max Cherry, they take the lid off, place their thumb over the opening, shake with all their might, and unleash it all over me. And if I'm very lucky and I hold my mouth open long enough, I get just enough Pepsi Max Cherry in my mouth just to give me that hit. But I am drenched. That's Fan Club.
Yeah. Sometimes people throw like a glass bottle of me. It's just a bottle of Coke, but they probably couldn't get the cherry one. But I get what it is, they're fans.
What's the worst thing that's been thrown at you in real life?
I did a gig once and there was where people were throwing glass bottles. And at a festival where we were stitched up, it was one that James Acaster chronicles in his book, which is a festival gig called Fellfoot Sound. Chris Boyd,
he talks about your 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, that one. They were throwing glass bottles at us. But actually, weirdly...
But at you?
I mean, I think they were designed to miss. I think they were all like... I mean, it was that kind of... But you weirdly created a real sense of...
camaraderie.
Yeah, between us, because we were like...
I bet that was an amazing gig.
Yeah, they go, oh, that was the worst gig we've ever done. And I was going, I actually had in some ways, I've had much worse gigs than that, where I've just left on my own. Whereas there, it's just like there's a real sense of we hate you and you hate us.
I would take a moment like that that's like defines your life.
Yeah.
That's a moment where you look over at your friends and you go, we just lived through something over absolutely smashing it and then getting on the train by myself.
Yeah.
And travelling home to an empty flat. You know, like when you close a gig, mm-hmm. when you're last on and the other acts have kind of seen you. And they're like, oh, do you mind? I'm going to go. And you go, no, that's fine. I wouldn't expect you to wait for me. We're in Dorset. Why would you wait? They leave and they don't watch you. And so it's basically you.
I'll probably be getting the next train in like half an hour anyway. So. Okay.
No, I'm only doing 20. It's like you've been handed the keys to the club and you've got to lock up. And you're like, okay, right, I'll close up shop tonight. And then you do it, and then you trudge all the way to get the train, and then you get on the train by yourself, and you go back to your flat, and you go to bed, and there's no adrenaline anymore. You go to bed, you wake up in the morning, you think, well, I made 20 quid. I would take getting glass bottles thrown at me with James Acaster and Ed Gamble over that you remember forever. Your 10-year anniversary gig that we did at Macfest.
Yeah.
That's a great gig because I did that material for the first time, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
And I realised, for the first time in 10 years, I did my set from 10 years, I did the set that I was doing 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And loads of it worked really well.
Yeah.
And so...
Because you're just much better now, right, as well. But also, I remember you doing that material at the time and it just being, like, almost being disgusted by it, like going, it makes sort of made you feel a bit ill.
But then I realised that actually I didn't mind that.
No.
At first, it was... So anyone that saw me do my last tour, which was in... Not last year, it was 2017. Fucking hell, we're all dying. Keep it light. anyone that saw me do my last tour, the wanking story that I did about my frenulum being snapped... that was my first bit of material that I ever did. I did a one-day comedy course. I did a one-day comedy course, and in the morning they taught you how to hold a microphone. Then we had homemade sandwiches. And then in the afternoon, we all took it in turns. There was probably about 15 of us to tell a story that we wouldn't tell our mum. And that was my story. And out of everyone on the course, I was the only one that he said, oh, you could just do that in a club. And so I took him at his word. And, and 8 months later, I phoned up downstairs at the King's Head, and 8 months later I did that on stage, and it got such a huge reaction. So I did it for about 6 months, I think, before I realised that the reaction wasn't laughter. The reaction was people squirming in disgust. When we did it, so I didn't do it, and I didn't do it for like maybe 10 years until I did your gig, mm. and I told the story again. And obviously, I'd over the years, I'd improved as a comedian, and it was funny and disgusting.
Mm.
And then I used that as the basis of my new show.
Mm. It's bold, I think, is what it is. So I think in your own show, you can get away with being bold. Whereas I think if you're doing 5 minutes, it's almost... People will either go, that's bold, or they'll go, oh, you're not supposed to be doing this, you've only got 5 minutes.
But people don't also warm to you.
Yes, yes.
So I think I've got the benefit of having people in the audience that know me or like me, and but never both. You can kind of get away with doing that, but fucking hell. So when we were doing it, I think the first gig was in Birmingham, was it? With David Trent, and when I did the tour, the first gig on the tour, and people fainted. There was like I did a poem directly afterwards. And I'm not going to do the material on the radio because you've got to fucking pay for that. But I did this like 20-minute wanking story, and which ended with a loss of blood, and then I'd go into a poem, and when I was doing the poem, the lights came up, and people were going, "He's collapsed! He's collapsed!" And I was like, "What?" And it's weird because I'm on stage with a microphone and I've obviously got to keep it funny and keep it rolling, but then it's just like, maybe he's died. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, and I didn't relate it to the story at that point. Mm. And and so the lights all came up, and then people were like, he's fainted. And then the ushers came in and they ran on into the auditorium. And I could see this guy had collapsed in the audience, and I was like, "Oh fucking hell!" The not St. John's ambulance, but like the attendants rushed in to help, and they ran to a completely different part of the auditorium, and I was like, "He's over there!" And it turned out that another guy had fainted on the other side of it. Like it was the first night of the tour, two random people fainted in the fucking audience. They got dragged out of the show. One guy returned and the other guy used that as his exit. And I do suspect that...
You saw the first one and went, hello.
Yeah, I suspect that the guy wasn't enjoying the show and he saw someone else fainted and he used that as his exit. But then when we did the tour, people were fainting all the time. And then even to the point that I forgot about it. And then I did Macfest last year. And I did it at the Tabernacle. And I'd forgotten all about that, like... that occurrence. That I think about it, it was under 20, but it was over, it was probably about 13, 14, considering we did 35 dates.
Yeah.
But half the dates...
had fainting.
Had people... had, and it was men. It was always men. Men fainted.
Well, I think it has that thing where you go...
But like they fainted, and yeah. they were so. I guess it was hot by that point. It was quite late in the show. It was quite a long show, and fucking hell. So we did it at the Tabernacle, and the guy fainted, and it took fucking the staff like 10 minutes to get him out. And the whole time you're on stage going, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing at this point. I can't carry on with the show because there's a guy with health problems. It was amazing, and do you know what? It's one of my proudest things. That yes. I made.
That's it. Yeah.
It's the sort of thing that you would report about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where you'd go like, "Oh God, fucking, it's so hardcore." I think when they did the Evil Dead remake, they were like saying, "It's so hardcore, people are fainting in the audience and having to be dragged out." And you go, "I did a stand-up show that was so hardcore that people fainted and had to be dragged out." I'm so proud of that. Put that on the fucking posters.
Do you remember the time, the place with John Stapleton? It was on ITV. And it was like...
was it like Pepper Mill?
No, it was more like sort of Kilroy or like a sort of talk show like that about sort of the news. So now it would be...
John Stapleton is, I would say, if you put him in the cement mixer with, you know, like all the others, he's one of the Alan Partridge.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. The time the place started, it was a live show. It used to be on about 10 o'clock, I guess, on weekdays.
I remember it, yeah.
And it was almost sort of introducing whatever the subject was. And quite clearly in the background, you could see someone having a heart attack in your... And I've looked it up. I can't find it anywhere. But it was one of those things where he's talking and it felt like you're sort of shouting at the telly, like, look behind you. There's a guy quite physically having a heart attack. He's just obviously in. And then he sort of, then they obviously realise someone and then it all goes dark for a bit. It's like, and the time and place will return in a few moments. And then they had to come back on air and actually just go, yeah, that guy had a heart attack and we've taken him out. But now we're just going to carry on with the show as planned.
Was he dead?
No. I think he got taken to hospital, though. But it was just that weird thing where you could see it, but you couldn't... He's talking to you through the TV, and in the background you can see someone having a hell of a time in the audience. Well, never forget it. Never forget it. Fucking hell.
But you can't find it on YouTube.
No. It's been a while since I looked, though.
I've done that classic thing where I've asked for a cup of herbal tea. Mm-hmm. Chamomile. It's they rustled through all of the drawers and they've managed to find me a chamomile tea. and I've done that classic thing of let it go cold enough that you can drink it quite easily without just like taking sips. So when you were talking, I've just downed a mug of chamomile tea. I've just downed, downed a lukewarm mug of chamomile tea. Why would you drink that much tea with chamomile tea in one go? The time to play. Anyway, so we're in Nisa.
Yeah, we're in Nisa.
And, that's fan club. We're in Nisa. And we've done 20 minutes.
It's fine.
So we're in Nisa. And it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter. So I normally would get a Pepsi Max chair. I say normally, not for like 7 months. And I get my fizzy water, and then we look at the thing, and I see that they've got Levi Roots Caribbean Crush. And you say...
I said, oh, is that just the same as Lilt?
And then we look, and they don't have Lilt on the shelves. And I just want to know, I'd like you all to... Phone in. And
today on the time and place.
And I'd like to find out, and they still make Lilt, but I'd like to know the last time you saw Lilt in a shop. Now, is it just me, or wasn't there... There's obviously the classic Lilt, which has got yellow fruit, yellow and green fruit on the thing. But I think that the overall image is red. Is blue.
So
you've got it's a white can, yellow and green fruit, and then there's kind of like a circle of blue. Is there a version of Lilt that's red? I guess maybe I'm getting it confused with Bounty, because there's the blue Bounty and then there's the dark chocolate red Bounty. Isn't there a red Lilt? Isn't there like a red equivalent of Lilt?
A different Lilt flavor.
Let us know. Punch that like, hit that subscribe, 5 stars, and let us know where you stand on Lilt.
You don't like a blue Bounty, though, do you?
I don't like Bounty.
Oh, I like a blue Bounty. Don't like the red one, I like the blue.
If I'm forced to, at the end of Christmas, you know, and I've got the bends, I will eat all the Bounties, but I'd
rather not.
I'd be happy if they didn't include the Bounties. It's the texture that I don't like.
Okay.
I'm not averse to coconut, but it's the texture of Bounties that I actually despise with a passion. Levi Roots Caribbean Crush. Put some music in your glass. That's ridiculous. Caribbean Crush with grapefruit, mango, and juicy pineapple.
That's right.
It should be just pineapple because it's a juice. It is already juice. It should be juicy grapefruit, juicy mango, and juicy pineapple. It shouldn't just be grapefruit, mango,
and orange juicy juice.
That's mental. It's just like you go, why is it juicy pineapple? Why is pineapple the only juicy one? It's like powdered grapefruit, solid mango. Juicy pineapple there, guys. Anyway, I'm going to give you my...
On the air, first opinion.
My review of Levi Roots...
Caribbean Crush. Caribbean Crush. Great noise.
Fucking hell, it's delicious.
Is it?
It's nicer than milk.
Can I have a bit?
Fuck off. Fuck, you've got to kill me for it.
Okay.
You can try it. There you go, mate. Yeah,
on air.
On air. What do you think? It's only a pound.
I like it. It's like Lilt, but more refreshing.
Do you know what I think?
It's a less sugary Lilt.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's the fucking juicy pineapple.
That'll be what it is. I love juicy pineapple.
Lilt doesn't have mango in it.
No.
It's grapefruit, pineapple... And what? Is that it?
Pineapple and grapefruit Lilt. Lilt, Lilt.
Would you drink Lilt and Malibu? Is that too...
too tropical.
Is that too
totally tropical and there's fucking tropical. That's fucking tropical.
Oh, fuck. That's totally tropical. That's too fucking tropical.
You have a Bounty floating in top.
There you go.
There we go. Totally tropical Lilt.
Tropical Lilt.
Oh, mango and mandarin.
I knew there was another Lilt! It's good. It's a good time to be alive.
It is.
2019. It is. How's your 2019 going, listeners? Mine is going pretty well.
What happened as we were leaving NYSA, NYSA?
Anyway, so we went to NYSA, NYSA, and got this. And basically, I got the Levi Roots Caribbean Crush. To boost my thing, because I knew I'd be paying with card and I was worried that there'd be a minimum spend. Mm-hmm. I do suspect that the minimum spend isn't £2.26. £2.26. Can I pay my card?
It was £1.26.
It was £1.26. And then it was like, do you know what? I'm going to make this look like a bit more of a shop. I'm doing my weekly shop here.
Is that all? Just the water?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Do you know what?
How much
though?
Is that totally tropical drink?
I can't afford to go on holiday this year, but my taste buds can. Levi Roots, yeah. Caribbean Crush, absolutely
he's
delicious.
Been in Fubar, hasn't he? Levi Roots.
When we started doing the show, we said, what sort of guests are we going to get? And Natalie said, do you know what? We can definitely get Levi Roots. And he's still yet to make an appearance. But we're drinking his drink. It's absolutely fucking delicious.
He's made an appearance in a way.
Yes, well, this is the show. It's only a quid, and I'll tell you what, I've been a fan of this week, and nothing up until 10 minutes ago, five seconds ago, when I drank some Caribbean Crush. It's not only a quid, it's definitely a quid, because it's not just, it's part of the actual label. It's not like the shop have gone, that's a quid. It's like Levi Roots has gone, it's a quid. My story started humble. Oh, fucking hell, there's a fucking story on the back
of
it.
The story
of
Levi Roots.
Fucking hell.
The fable.
This is the sort of thing where you drink, you got a hangover and you have to get on a bus. You stop off at the shop, you get a Levi Roots thing and you take a sip of it and you go, fucking hell, I feel fucking awful.
Is it Innocent Smoothies that have a thing like, here's our statement. Here's our, who we are. And you go, I don't care.
Fuck off. The only time that that's useful is if I'm on the toilet and I need something to read and I find an Innocent Smoothie bottle in the bin and I think that'll do. My story started from humble beginnings in a tiny village in Jamaica called Content, where my grandmother taught me the art of mixing Caribbean flavours and where I first discovered my love of reggae music.
Are you doing the audiobook for Levi Roots' autobiography?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'm not going to read it first. I'm just going to fumble my way through it and then just release it. Go on. Join me on my journey and put some music.
Go on.
And put some music in your glass. More love,
music.
Levi Roots. I mean, it's not. It's lovely. I think more things. Do you know what I mean?
More love.
Coca-Cola can't do that because it's a whole corporation of people that are doing it. They're not all going to have a story. This is Levi Roots by himself. My story started when I drank a lilt and I thought, I'll just put some mango in that. £1. Anyway, on our way up, it's delicious. It's absolutely
lovely.
I love it. When we got to the till, the woman
it's
at
the same woman from last week.
And when we got to the till, what did she say?
She said, "Oh, here they are again, the grandads."
We're going to stop going in.
Yeah, we can't go in anymore.
I shop at that place all the time because it's over the road from the station. Sometimes it's 24 hours. Sometimes.
When I go, it's a long trip for me to get some.
Live just round the corner.
When I want some Levi.
I'm just around the corner, but it's slightly further away for you.
Which is annoying when I need to do really basic shops. I have to go past loads of others.
Yeah.
Just to get there.
But for me, it's just quite actually convenient. It's 24 hours. Sainsbury's closes at 11, and Tesco's is too far in the opposite direction. It's not that far in the opposite direction, but it's too far. What's the point, isn't it? What's the point in travelling a little bit further when NYSA is just there? I've never been called Grandad by myself.
Why don't the advert be NYSA? It's just nicer. That'd be good, wouldn't it? A good slogan for them.
Do you remember last week when I said I was in Sainsbury's and I looked over the road and I thought I want to be in there, and I said the shops are always nicer on the other side.
Yeah,
it's the same joke, Nat. You can't just recycle
it's
my
not,
material.
It's not the same joke.
You can't take something I said last week and then repackage it as your own.
It's not the same. It's got, yours is about, it's a different pun on Nisa. I don't think there's a lot you could do with Nisa and Nisa, to be honest, but I think we've done a good job.
I think
we've done half an hour.
I think if you're a professional comedian that is on stage doing jokes about Nisa and Nisa, I think you've come to the end of your journey.
I think you might be right, yeah.
So I'm going to... what am I going to do? It's half past. We've done half an hour so far. Yet to talk about anything of any value or merit.
I think it's been a good one.
Give us five stars.
This is
like a telethon. Yeah. It's just like we're going to keep going until we get all the five stars. Natalie, have we had any five-star reviews? Natalie, how many people actually listen to our show? I'd just like to know.
Five. That makes sense, actually, given the Twitter activity.
Natalie's there talking away as if... You don't know how many people... Just say that, then! We've been asking for fucking 8 months how many people listen to our show, and this is the first time you've actually just turned around and said, I don't know. Just fucking... That's fine. Just say you don't know, right? Stop pretending like you've got some information. You go, I'll just check the numbers and spend so long thinking about it that, you know, we give up. Hannah Bowman, who used to work for us, used to be our servant, Hannah Bowman, who used to work for us.
She used to provide you with fruity teas.
I've never heard of this product, maybe just because I don't get any references in fan club, or maybe issue,
yeah,
or maybe because we don't have it in Australia. We miss you, Hannah. We will never know.
Oh.
She did Oz, spelt it A-U-S, and then dot, dot. Is that meant to be like a dot, dot, dot? Or is that?
I think it's a dot, dot, dot. Morse code.
Or maybe because she's shortened Australia by Oz.
Oh, and she's just...
And she's put a dot, and then she's also put a full stop at the end.
Could be.
In 1996, Chris Morris appeared on The Time, The Place, posting as Hannah could say... Oh, sorry, this isn't Hannah. This isn't Hannah anymore. This is... I thought that's a bit... That's a bit niche for Hannah. In 1996, Chris Morris appeared on The Time, The Place, posing as academic Thurston Lowe in a discussion entitled Are British Men Lousy Lovers? Oh.
I wonder if that's online.
That is funny. I've forgotten how to use the thing. Oh, no, I haven't. All right, we're going to play a song, I guess.
No, I haven't.
We're playing a song. What do we normally do during the song?
Have a chat.
Is that all?
Keep chatting. Oh, there he is.
Oh, yes. Oh, fucking hell. Chris Morris. Oh, I love Chris Morris. Do you?
I love him. Very excited about his new film. He's got a new film coming out.
Has he? What's it?
I don't know. I know very little about it, other than it's a new movie.
I almost can't be bothered to play a song today.
Don't have to. Keep going.
Weirdly, they've announced Ghostbusters 3, haven't they?
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird. I find the whole Ghostbusters thing weird anyway. Just this sort of weird sort of this is out, this one's out, we've ignored that one, but it came out 2 years ago or whatever. I find it like, whoa.
But they're going like Ghostbusters 3, but they haven't announced the cast, and it's just kind of like the only reason why anyone wanted a Ghostbusters 3 was when Harold Ramis was still alive.
Mm.
But also it's just sort of like, I think that they had their moment, they had their opportunity to do it, they didn't do it, and now everyone's moved on, haven't they?
But Jason Reitman as well, he does much like sort of quite different tonal movies than the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he's different from his dad. Like, so Ivan Reitman made Stripes and then Ghostbusters, and you go, yeah, fine.
I think it's that thing again, like we were talking about, I know you saw The Predator this week, and it feels like that thing where they've gone, let's get the guy who was in Predator to write and direct it.
Mm.
But maybe he isn't the most obvious person to do that kind of film.
I think Ivan Reitman is a weird choice, but then I heard so much shit about the way Ivan Reitman was treated about the Ghostbusters 3, the production of Ghostbusters 3. Ivan Reitman was treated really, really badly when they made that. Like they'd have parties to launch Ghostbusters, and they said, we're having a party, but don't invite Ivan Reitman. And they didn't invite him to them. And then it was just all the new guys. I think the problem with the new Ghostbusters was just that it wasn't very good. And also, I felt the whole thing was a bit weird, which was, you know, are we going to make it, but we're going to make it it's not the fact that there were women in it, it's the fact that it was like they went out of their way to go, we're going to do the opposite. You know, it was had men in it, now it's just going to have women. And then you go, it did have men in it, but it also had two of the biggest comedians on the planet, one of the guys that wrote it, and then it was going to have Eddie Murphy in it, and then they put Ernie Hudson in it instead because Eddie Murphy didn't do it. So it's going to have like all of
the big Saturday Night Live
comedians in it, and so it's kind of like through circumstance that it had those people in. I just think that if you want to do a feminist Ghostbusters, then you just put women in it. You don't just like go, we're going to do Ghostbusters, but it's just going to have women in it. I think you just like include women. Don't you? Where everyone's equal, isn't that the point?
Well, I guess the thing was, it was, wasn't it? I imagine the thing about it was only as much as we'll get the director of Bridesmaids and we'll get some of the people from Bridesmaids to do.
And I think
and
actually
just stick that in Ghostbusters.
Having
right?
said that out loud, I think that actually what it is that they got some of the biggest comedians on the planet from today.
Yeah,
you have Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig, and. Yeah, so it's kind of like almost the reverse of that. But it just felt like this. But then also that became the only thing that anyone was allowed to talk about with that. And nobody discussed the actual quality of the film.
Yeah.
It's probably better than Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said before, like last time I watched the original Ghostbusters, I was a bit kind of lukewarm on it. But that's more of a personal thing.
I love Ghostbusters. One of the things I love most about Ghostbusters, though, is the real Ghostbusters cartoon series.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew up watching that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, every week. I think the original film is brilliant. I love the original film. It's brilliant. Bill Murray is great in it. Okay, you watch it in today's context and he's sex bestie and it's a bit sort of weird. Sigourney Weaver's fantastic in it. You know, going back and watching Alien after you've grown up watching Ghostbusters is kind of like, oh, wow, she did all this other stuff. I've watched Working Girl the other week. Sigourney Weaver's absolutely incredible in Working Girl. She's such a dick. And, amazing cast. Rick Moranis is in it.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I love the original Ghostbusters. But I would have to say... I've said it before, but like my favourite Bill Murray film is Groundhog Day. But I'm a romantic at heart, where I rewatched Sleeps in Seattle recently, and you just go, this for me is one of the all-time best films. Sleeps in Seattle, Pretty Woman, Dirty Dancing. If there was sort of like one of them three films on one disc
things, yeah.
I would go, yeah. Not Ghost. I don't think Ghost is very good. It's a weird thriller that's got an element of romance in it. But it's kind of like... I watched it after Patrick Swayze died. I had a bit of a Patrick Swayze marathon.
We're talking about... Well, before the show, we're talking about Stan Ollie, which I saw, and I was thinking, that's what that's like. It's basically a romantic comedy about two friends, and it's just got that thing about... It's like they sort of fall out for a bit, and then they get back together again.
I really liked Stan and Ollie. Yes, but yes.
But I do think that's what it is.
I have complicated feelings about it.
But I think there's something really nice about that as a thing. And also I think it's really refreshing to see a film now that's about comedians and it's not concerned with going, but in real life they were horrible. It's basically like there's two guys who are like nice people in the world who are, and like each other or love each other, but they've got this sort of quite complicated relationship.
The stakes were quite complicated, but not that complicated. And the stakes were never that high. Do you know what I mean? It was just kind of like the big dramatic bit is they have a falling out for
about 48 hours.
For about and then they're best mates again.
Yeah.
And they're best mates, and they have a minor dispute, and then they wake up in the morning and they go, sorry about that. And that's like the thing. And you go, oh, yeah, that is really sweet.
I guess it's built on this thing that had happened 17 years ago, which I think is more like friendships that fall apart, is there's this little kind of rift that's always existed.
You never
they don't acknowledge
them.
It. They don't acknowledge that they feel there's some sort of betrayal.
That's what happens with family.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have an argument and something from 20 years ago comes up and you're just like...
I don't remember.
Haven't you got over that? And he's like, you never apologised.
But it is.
Give me some closure.
And I think it's really lovely that kind of... I really like those sort of friendship-y films. I think they're really nice.
Yeah, I suppose it. When I watch them, it gives me an idea of what it's like to have friends. The main characters in the new Ghostbusters are teens.
Rumor. Yeah, but
are they going to get? Are they going to get Bill Murray back?
Well, they'll do it, won't they? If they can.
Say again? Doesn't say.
They'll ask him. He'll say no. I mean, that means they've got to get like a teenager who's meant to be like a sort of young Peter Venkman type. Or they'll do it, like, it just feels a bit like... Ugh.
The whole thing is really weird. Ernie Hudson on new Ghostbusters movie, Everybody's In. Oh, that's brilliant.
Okay.
Brilliant. Do you know what? Ernie Hudson is a better source of information than Dan Aykroyd, who fucking hell, just don't believe a single... He's word. I mean, he... Oh, Dan Aykroyd. I have very complicated feelings about Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd is reportedly the driving force behind the new movie. Of course he fucking is. Who completed a script treatment. Of course he did.
But he did that in 1990.
He's been doing... The thing is that Bill Murray... Bill Murray and Harold Ramis did Stripes together. And then Bill Murray was... It was... I mean, fucking... Ghostbusters was written for Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi. I guess Harold... Dan Aykroyd basically wrote a phone book-sized script.
It was like 200 pages or something, wasn't it? Or
it was no,
than
bigger than that. It was a huge script. And it was like, I've done this script, and that people were like, that's not a script. That's just absolutely fucking ridiculous. So Harold Ramis got brought in to edit it down and actually make some sense out of it. So that's how their relationship sort of started. And I think the original Ghostbusters is sort of like the original Anchorman, where the film came together and they filmed a lot of stuff. Like, they do montage sequences, and I get the feeling that the montage sequences came about not because they wrote in the script, we've got a montage sequence to do. It was just the fact that they had so much leftover footage. Yeah. It was just like, we'll do a montage sequence. Because you watch the special features, they didn't know what the film was when they were making Ghostbusters. The special features, there was, like, Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray were playing homeless people in Central Park. Like, as separate characters. He was basically doing... Bill Murray was basically doing his character out of Caddyshack. And they were separate characters in Central Park, and then they were just like... I guess they got in the edit and said, actually, it's not that sort of film where you can play multiple characters, so we'll cut that out.
And were they commenting on the action? Is it Rosencrantz and Guildenstern?
I think it was when... I think it was when the dog is sort of, like, running...
You
know, when Lewis Tully is getting chased by the dog. It's not a dog, what is it?
Like a hell beast thing,
a hellhound.
Hellhound,
and they cut all that out, and you go, okay, right. So in the edit, they put that together. So with Anchorman 1, they had so much leftover footage that they just made another film out of it. They made one. It was like Anchorman 0.5.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then when you get to doing Ghostbusters 2. Everyone comes back with their egos, and you get. And I think the problem with Ghostbusters 2 is the fact that they wrote a script, and what you see is almost exactly what they filmed, where they knew what the tone was, so they didn't have to experiment loads. And then what they put together. There's one scene that is cut, which was when Ray is looking at the painting originally. He gets possessed by Viggo. And then later on, and it was in the Ghostbusters comic book, Ghostbusters 2 comic book, which was done in the style of the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ray gets possessed basically by Viggo. And then, and you know, at the end of the film, he turns around and he is Viggo. And they have to douse him in the goo, in the slime. And and you go, where's that come from? And what it came from was that he gets possessed at the beginning, and then halfway through the film, he's driving Ecto-1, and he's basically going to kill them all. And they have to, like, I think Winston punches him out, and then they go, what's wrong with you? And then at the end, he's, like, fully possessed. And that was, like, a subplot. And also, actually, that's not... What I'm talking is actually... Because there was a whole Eugene Levy subplot. Rick Moranis came along, and he said, I'll do it, but I need to be as an equal part. So they filmed a whole subplot with Eugene Levy, where Eugene Levy played his cousin. And I think they knew they were going to cut it, but they were just doing it to basically
appease.
Yeah, and that's complete. There's like a couple of photos online of like Eugene Levy and Rick Moranis on set of Ghostbusters 2.
And are they mates then? Or are they like?
Eugene Levy's part of that wheelhouse, isn't he?
Yeah.
Where he was in Splash with John Candy, and John Candy was in kind of like Stripes, and you know. So yeah, I guess he was like part of all of that lot, and you know he was in both of the Father of the Bride films as different characters, and then he was in all of the American Pie films, which has nothing to do with anything, but he was so I guess they filmed more, but you get the feeling that they kind of were just like, this is the film, this is the tone, we know what we're doing. And then when there's a montage sequence in Ghostbusters 2 where they're driving really fast through the town, and through the town which is New York, and there's a bit when Bill Murray looks out the back window and then he turns around and he sort of like goes whoo like that. And that's all from the sequence where Ray is possessed. But they just, for some reason, they cut it out. But it would have only added a couple of minutes, I think. And it would make a lot more sense out of the ending of the film. But anyway, so when you look at Anchorman 2, you just go, I mean, it's Anchorman's a bit like previews, where you try loads and loads and loads of jokes, and then in the edit they were just like, well, that one works and that one doesn't. With Anchorman 2, it was just like, you know, Steve Carell is now second billing because he's really huge and he's done The Office and all of that. And you go, well, no, but Brick isn't like a main part. Don't give him all of that. He's the supporting character. You know, don't give him the weight of a storyline because he's the supporting character. And so you get the feeling with Anchorman 2 that they filmed exactly what they had time for.
They probably all filmed it at different times when they were free.
All different times. They gave him a subplot. They gave Steve Carell a subplot, a romantic subplot as well, where you just go, no, that character can't support that subplot. And then at the end, when all of the guest stars come along with Will Smith and stuff like that, you go, everyone filmed on a separate day. Harrison Ford's in it, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is.
Fucking hell. It's such a fucking awful film. There's Anchorman 2 is terrible, but it's basically they didn't make it in the edit. They basically wrote it, and then they were just like, this is all we can, you know.
Yeah.
It was like a scheduling exercise where they were just like, right, you're free then. Right, we'll film you that day, and then we'll put it all together in the edit. And then it's all they basically put together. I'm going to play a song.
Thank you. out of here. I want to get out of here. I've got to get out of here.
And we're back. Sometimes there's basically a countdown. That was a really long song, and I wasn't expecting it to be as long as that. Sometimes there's a countdown on it, and sometimes it says it counts down to zero when you play a song, and then the song still plays when it gets to zero, so it starts counting up again, and it's like,
that makes sense.
Why'd you do it like that? That's
what
weird.
What song was that?
That was The Ballad of Dwight Fry by Alice Cooper. And when he goes, I gotta get out of here, they couldn't get the sound right. So what they did was they buried him under a bunch of fold-up chairs.
Okay. And is it about Dwight Fry, the song? Is there a song about him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dwight Fry was a silent movie actor. He played the original...
Frankenstein.
Was he Igor in Frankenstein?
No, he's... is he Igor?
I think
he's Igor.
He's called Igor in Frankenstein. He's Frankenstein's assistant in Frankenstein. Frankenstein's assistant in Frankenstein. And he's also Renfield in Dracula.
Yeah.
The guy that eats all of the bugs and stuff like that. And Alice Cooper did a song called Ballad of Dwight Fry. We've got Cookie coming on in a minute. We've got to play a couple of games on this.
Yeah.
On the card game that I got. But also, we need to talk about the Predator. The Predator. I watched The Predator. Well, a funny story. I was watching The Predator with my lover. and we started watching it, and the beginning, it starts in space and all of that stuff. I bought it off Sky, so it co- I think I paid 10 quid to watch The Predator, and now I've got it forever. And we started watching it, and she was just like going, I don't know what the fuck is going on. So I said, well, you know, it's, she goes, is this, what is this? I said, well, you know, it's like the sequel to Predator. Predator being one of my favourite all-time films. I think it is incredible. I think Predator is an incredible film. It's as good as Alien in terms of iconic. I just think it's absolutely, but there's not one good sequel. And, I think Predator is the best Arnold Schwarzenegger film. It's one of the best science fiction films. It's one of the best action films. One of the best horror films. One of the best war films. It's just everything in. It's just. There's two bits I don't like, and it's the one liners.
Yeah.
Stick around and not knock and all that. And you go, you haven't. They feel like they're out of Commando. Whereas everything. They feel like they're jokes for the audience.
Yeah.
Whereas everything else is contextual. And I just think Predator is incredible. Anyway, so I say, well, this is a sequel to Predator. And it's not like a remake or anything like that. It's a sequel. She goes, I don't think I've seen Predator. What happens in Predator? And I said, well, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger in a jungle with a team of guys. There's an alien that starts picking them off one by one. She goes, no, I've not seen that. There's an alien with dreadlocks. And he's got kind of like mandibles and, you know, no, I've not seen that. He's invisible. And then I've not seen Predator. I'm like, are you sure you've not seen Predator? Yeah, no, I've not seen Predator. So I stop The Predator and I rent Predator off of Sky for like $1.99. And,
it sounds like abuse. You're just making her watch Predator.
Well, just like, we can't watch The Predator.
No.
I was desperate to watch The Predator because I the poster kept winking at me and I was just like, I really do want to see that. Like, I think it's going to be awful, but I don't want to go to the cinema to see it, but I will watch it off my telly. And it's like, so, and so we started watching Predator and Arnold Schwarzenegger turns up and his little red polo shirt. She goes, yeah, I've seen it. And you go, you don't recognise any other. It's as soon as you see the red polo shirt, you go, yeah, I've seen it. You go, right, okay, fine, fuck it. It was just funny because it's like the least memorable thing about the whole film is right at the beginning when he's wearing a little red polo shirt. And so she goes, yeah, I've seen it. The Predator. Written and directed by Shane Black and Fred Deckard. Fred Decker.
Because they're called Black and Decker, aren't they?
That's very good. That's very good. Is that deliberate?
No, they just made, they sort each other out so they could have the band.
Do you think?
I think they were at film school together.
They did the Monster Squad together, right?
Yeah.
And he directed Monster Squad. Decker directed Monster Squad.
Maybe he did.
He also directed Robocop 3.
Did he?
The worst film. I think that's the worst film I've ever seen in a cinema. One of the worst. I just think it's fucking Robocop 3.
Do you know at the end of school terms they let you watch like a video in the last day or whatever?
Yeah.
We had that at our school, but we were going to watch something like E.T. No, I'll tell you what we were going to watch. We were going to watch Sister Act or Sister Act 2. And then one of the kids sort of belted up.
Back in the Habit.
Back in the Habit.
Directed by?
Oh,
Bill Duke.
Yeah.
From Predator.
That's Fan Club.
And
when they brought the video out, someone put their hand up and said, Miss, I've brought a video in, can we watch that? And the teacher went, yeah. And it was Robocop 3, could have been worse, it was Robocop 3, but it was a pirate. And so the last day of school, we were watching like a pirated video of Robocop 3. And we were all very excited about it, and it was one of those things, while we were watching it, it was like, it was hard going. Even at school, like going... Oh, God,
when you're watching Robocop 3 and you put your hand up and you go, I know it's the last day of the term, Miss, but can we do some French revision? Robocop 3 is so bad. It's just awful. And it's sort of like, I remember hearing that there was like a samurai robot in it and I was just like, oh, that's going to be great. And it's just a guy. It's just a guy in it. who happens to be a robot. But it's like, I always thought it was going to be like this, like a transformer, you know? And it was like, oh, it was so rough. And then he flies at the end and they reprogram Ed Terranine to be loyal like a puppy and loyal like a puppy. And you go, oh no, everything about it is awful. Nancy Allen is in it and Nancy Allen is... Nancy Allen's fucking... I love Nancy Allen, and she gets killed in it. Spoilers, I can't be bothered to press the button. It's fucking... Robocop 3 is fucking... I haven't thought about that film in such a long time. It's so bad. Anyway, Fred Decker, Black and Decker. I mean, we've got to get Cookie on. And do you know what? Maybe we should play your song, and then we'll talk about Predator when Cookie's here.
He might have seen it.
He may have seen it, and if he hasn't seen it, then. Right, I'm going to play your song now. It is Katie, Queen of Tennessee.
No, that's Cookie's song.
So what am I playing?
Have you got Vanilla Fudge?
Vanilla Fudge. You keep me hanging on. Okay, right. I haven't put my headphones on, so... fuck it.
Nick Helm.
I played the wrong one.
Nick and Nat's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio. Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan
Club. I'm just showing you the difference. Some of them's got our surnames on. I just said people would just be referring to it as Nick and Nat's Fan Club. Natalie was saying, you've got to have Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club because people will know who you are from that. Turns out it doesn't matter, no one listens. Keep them reviews rolling in. So, 5 stars only. And Vanilla Fudge, we were just talking about Vanilla Fudge. We're joined in the studio now by Cookie. Daniel Cook, Cookie to Cookie. His friends.
To Nick.
Do you know what I was thinking when I found out you were doing the show? I spent every waking moment thinking, Oh, I'm going to call him Cookie. I've never called you Cookie.
Never.
We had a teacher at school called Mr. Cook, and people used to affectionately call him Cookie.
Yeah, my nickname at school is Cookie.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Cookie. Oh, is it bringing back? Is it a trigger? Have I triggered some awful memories?
Something on at university, we had a lecturer who was a German lecturer, and he kept using the phrase, but you know, that's just the way the apple crumbles. And he used to love it. He used to love it.
The windy apple. New York.
City of dreams.
Los Angeles, the city of apples. So I just wanted to say, you know, we were talking about that Inglourious Bastards thing.
What thing?
The best joke of all time on any film is Inglourious Bastards, when at the beginning of the film they go, you're talking in French and I'm talking in German. Maybe if we talk in English.
Yes.
That's from Wayne's World 2.
Is it?
Where they go, they're both talking in Cantonese, and they're saying, well, maybe if we're dubbed, then we don't have to worry about subtitles. And so they go dubbed after that when they're fighting. And Mike Myers
is in
Inglourious Basterds. So I noticed that. The other thing is, I'm making a list of every film that I've watched this year, and I got to such a high number, people started commenting, and then I was just like, I'm going to basically save them up and not do it as I watch them. So I've watched a few films that I'm too ashamed to say that I've watched.
That's part of it.
I watch a film a day.
Yeah, but I think that's good. That's good.
Yeah, but it was, people were like, going, get a job. And I was like, I do need a job. I do need something to do.
But people go home and watch TV every night.
Exactly.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, right? And I don't sleep well. So basically, I will watch a film for an hour and a half at midnight, and then at like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll fall asleep. And
nothing wrong with that.
One of the films I watched this week was Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Have you seen that? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that, Cookie?
I've seen the film and I've seen the TV series with who's in
Alec Guinness.
Alec Guinness, yeah.
Yeah. So what? So the film is the TV series is seven parts. I think it's 7 hours.
Yeah.
The film is 2 hours. I'm not a complicated man. Mm-hmm. I've got to say, but I'm not. I don't consider myself a thick person. I got first at university. I bring that up all the time. It was Winchester. Doesn't count. It's a 2-2 from anywhere else. And sorry if you're at Winchester, but you're wasting your time. So I love Winchester. I love Winchester. It was the happiest days of. It wasn't the happiest days of my life. Got my heart broken several times by the same woman. Ooh. She ended up leaving me for a drug addicted accordion player. not even a joke.
No.
And I knew it was happening, but I just couldn't let her go. Still think about her almost every day.
Keep it light.
This is like when Tony Blackburn's wife left him.
You think I'm as good as Tony Blackburn?
Yeah.
Wow. Cookie. We should have had you on ages ago. What am I talking about?
Tinker Tailor.
Fucking hell, I could not understand a single fucking thing that was going on.
Really?
I had to read it up on Wikipedia afterwards to find out what the fuck was going on.
The film or the TV series?
I haven't seen the TV series. The film was indecipherable to me. There's so many characters, so many awful wigs. I was just like, everyone's wearing a terrible wig. Like, everyone's wearing a wig, except for Toby Jones. I thought like Gary Oldman's wig was really bafflingly bad, and then I read that he just bleached his hair. It was actually his real hair.
I love that film.
There's
a great bit where he's just making a fried egg sandwich. I loved it.
In the film? I don't remember that at all.
Makes a fried egg sandwich at one bit.
Who does?
Gary Oldman. And you just see him for about, and it's sort of in real time. And you go, oh, this is nice to watch him. And there's another bit where he's having a swim in a Lido, and he just stays with him, and you go, oh, I like watching Gary Oldman.
I couldn't follow
having
it.
Having a swim.
I couldn't follow it. It was like the.
It's basically about a fried egg.
It flashes back and forward, and you can't understand a single. And you just start going, is this a flashback right now? That character got killed. John Hurt dies in the opening credits, and then he's in the rest of the film. And you go, well, but there's not a close up of John Hurt dying in bed. So you're just like, was that John Hurt?
Oh, I love it.
I can't remember anything from that film.
And then the ending is kind of like really great, But it would have been a lot better had I been able to follow what the fuck was going on for the rest of the film. And it's just like, I didn't know that Gary Oldman was married. Like, I didn't understand anything that was going on. And also Gary Oldman, I think, is a little bit like Robert De Niro in Goodfellas, where, like, Robert De Niro gets so much plaudits for Goodfellas, and you go, it's Ray Liotta's film. Ray Liotta's incredible in Goodfellas. And everyone goes on about Robert De Niro, who's basically doing background work, and you go, and with Gary Oldman, it's just like, he barely registered to me that he was in the film.
Well, he's like the nothing man, isn't he? That's what he is. He's the guy who's like the only trustworthy person, because he's the person in the office who's like perceived as being like...
He's in the office.
That's it. He's got like, he's sort of anonymous. And also he's in the other, like, I haven't read the Le Carré books, and a lot of them seem a bit hard going.
Oh,
but
dear.
In all the ones before it, that character is like a background character in all the other films, who's like in the office with the others.
Right.
But you never really get him referenced. In this one, they bring him as like, he's now the main character.
Well, they did three books, didn't they? There's a trilogy of books with him, and he's in a lot of other books as well. And also, just speaking of Le Carré, I rewatched Tom Hiddleston's acceptance speech for The Night Manager for the Golden Globes. Oh, it's incredible. You got to watch it. It basically...
It's not my favourite.
No.
It basically began and ended his career in 2 minutes. It
was
He gets an award for The Night Manager. He goes on to accept it. And it's so self-worthy that everyone goes, whoa, we're not going to work with him. While he's doing the speech, there's a close-up of Christian Slater, who basically, his face just goes, whoa.
Christian Slater goes, Hiddleston's career's over.
You haven't seen Christian Slater in 30 years, but when you do, it's priceless. Do you know what I mean? It's like, no manners, but what a critic.
Someone told me a story about Tom Hiddleston going back to his... I don't know, can I say this?
I don't know.
I don't know. No.
Okay.
It's your mouth, your life.
I'll say it, and then if I'm not allowed to say it, Natalie's going to put her hand up.
Let's say
it's live.
Sure.
Let's say it's about a man called Tom Hiddleston.
The thing is, it's not bad at all.
Okay.
This story's absolutely
fine.
Maybe
don't call him Tom Hiddleston. Maybe call him Tom Hiddleston,
the midfielder for Derby County.
Yeah. Sure. Call him Noel Edmonds.
Noel Edmonds, okay. The thing, so, I'm going to do that. Apparently, Noel Edmonds, when he back to his school...
Oh, cookie.
He was there to give, like, a speech, you know, when you go back to your old school and say, I'm a huge success now. Mm. I can't remember who told me this. It was another comedian.
Was he another one from Eton?
I think so.
There are so many Tom Hiddleston stories.
Noel Edmonds stories.
Yeah. Not the Noel Edmonds, just to say a Noel Edmonds.
Yeah.
He basically opened his speech like this. He goes, Eton, RADA, Cambridge, Hollywood. I'm Noel Edmonds.
That is incredible. I've heard that as well. I think that must be true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh.
Extraordinary, extraordinary.
There are so many, but they're like almost like private stories that that actors pass around on set, and they go, "Here's one for you."
It fits his personality as well. You look at him and go, "Of course you did.
Of course, of course."
I'd have kicked him out of there.
Absolutely.
You know, there's that thing as well when like there was that criticism, wasn't there, recently, where people go, "How is it that all these people from Eton do? There's all these people from Eton who are now in Hollywood." And a journalist did an interview with Damian Lewis, and he was at Eton, and they said to him, what do you think about this thing? It seems like, it does seem slightly unfair, doesn't it? There actually are lots of people from Eton who are now in Hollywood. And he went, oh, that's such a ridiculous stereotype, you know. I can think of like maybe like 3 or 4 people from Eton who are currently in like Hollywood movies. And I just think, do you know how many people from my school are in Hollywood? No. Like, the most famous people who ever went to my school were Dr. Legg from EastEnders, I think. He was one.
That's good.
He's a good one. And who else have we got? That's it. And me.
Ahmed was in the year below me.
Oh, was
school.
He?
Yeah.
What school did you go to?
Merchant Taylors in Norfolk.
How does that make you feel, competitive?
Not in the slightest. I did a school play with him. And it was
good?
Oh, he was, I mean, it was, everyone could see that he was clearly better than everyone else. Every job he gets, you're like, yeah, he beat me to the main part in that and the main part in, I don't know what he's been the main
Oliver
part
Twist.
In. There you go.
Mm. I'm just thinking of what you did at school.
It's a threepenny opera.
Was it a threepenny opera?
I would have called it a threepenny opera. That's just...
absolutely delighted with that.
No, I'm not. I just, it's such a weird thing to have said out loud and I regret it instantly. Anyway, let's have a question. What sort of disaster strikes the world in the day after tomorrow?
What sort?
Now, this is the Ridley's Games Room movie buff quiz. Mm-hmm. And it is multiple choice, but I managed to answer every single card when I was away on holiday without using any of the multiple choices.
Where did you go on holiday? Is it a secret?
The New Forest.
The New Forest. And who'd you go with?
My lover.
Your lover. And was she happy with you doing questions?
She fucking hated it. She hated it. It was meant to be a fun thing that we did. But it was... No, but we were talking
about... Was it because you were just doing the quiz questions?
It was literally... It was meant to be... Like, she didn't hate... She hated the quiz because basically she's very competitive. And right. She pretends that she's not competitive. And then as soon as you do anything, like Scrabble, there's a black cloud that enters the room and you're like, do you want to maybe we could put the Scrabble away? Maybe we'll just watch a film or something instead. No, we're playing, and it's awful. Anyway, so she listened to the show as well.
That's
sorry.
It. My mum and dad always get these kind of cards at Christmas, like movie cards. Mm-hmm. They go, because you're like that, because you're good at films. And I go, no, I am, and that's the problem, that it will be a thing where it's like, oh, this is no fun, is it? Because you just know all the answers. And you go, yeah, I mean, this is because you've got a thing to my, but the not, thing I like.
They're not even taxing. So basically, the first question was, I did this last week. I'll do it every week. Mm-hmm. when I'm describing.
Can be your catchphrase.
The first question was, who played the Joker in the 1989 Tim Burton movie Batman? And she didn't know.
Right.
And you go, let's just not play, because you don't know this, and so you're not going to know anything or any of these. Whereas. Any of the answers to this, because basically I know it, but I don't even think of that as like a thing that you wouldn't. I just assume that everyone would know that.
Yeah.
But if you don't know that, then it's kind of like, this isn't your game. We'll play something else. Or we'll do something else. Well, fuck. I tell you what,
that's why you got me in.
Let's not play the movie game.
Do you want to play the game? Do you want to play the game now?
I'm like Alan Partridge, isn't it? What are you doing in bed? You're wasting your life. It's like, what am I? I went away and I played the movie game to the point that my girlfriend hated me so much that she couldn't even make eye contact with me. We were stuck in a cabin in the New Forest.
Me and my girlfriend played Trivial Pursuits against each other when we got away.
And what? You enjoy it?
Very much so. We love a quiz.
And are you competitive?
Very competitive.
What, with each other or as a team together?
Both. I mean, she's a very, very competitive lady. She knows it. Mm. She gets very worked up. Mm. She's been known to cry during the game.
Oh, really?
Not the Trivial Pursuit, but we were playing a different game with a group of friends, and she got really worked up.
And she cried?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
And she was very drunk.
I love that.
Yeah. I love that. How was she afterwards?
Remorseful. We bring it up often. We had a quiz at the weekend with another group of friends, and it got brought up again there.
Would you say Trivial Pursuit is your game?
Yeah.
What's your game?
I like a Trivial Pursuit because I'm good at all of them, but the geography and science, they're my weaknesses.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, sport, I suppose, sport as well.
Science, I can't do that.
Mm. Bad at those, but I like the others. If I get a pink question, entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's fly right. for it.
I go, why can't they all be that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you That's get a game though. Like Ridley's Games Rooms, and you're just like, fuck this.
Hmm.
My game? Shithead. It's an amazing game. Shithead is an amazing game.
That's a card game, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've always got a deck of cards on me, and I will always try and challenge you for Shithead.
Okay, never played it.
I don't know how to play it.
Well, I mean,
should we play that now?
I've got to go somewhere after this.
Show off.
But it's annoying because it's slightly further than around the corner from my flat, like this place is. But I would play Shithead with you for the rest of the day. What sort of disaster strikes? Disaster. The thing I noticed this week was people who say Brexit.
Mm. Oh, I've not heard that.
People say
I don't like that.
People say Brexit.
Not happy about that.
And you go, what do you say, Weetabigs? What are you talking about? Brexit. Yeah. Like exit.
Yeah.
Exit. What sort of disaster? What sort of disaster strikes the world in the day after tomorrow?
Okay.
It's multiple choice.
Great.
But if you don't need it.
I do. Never seen it.
Is it A, tornado?
Right.
B, meteor. C, tidal wave. D, ice age.
Ooh. Right. I seem to remember from the trailer there was a... Oh, God. I think it's a tidal wave. I think there was a big water coming through.
Big water.
Or was it big ice? It's the last two. It's one of the last two.
See, I would say Ice Age is the most ridiculous of those because it suggests that a disaster could be an ice age that happens like overnight or something.
I think there is a fucking tidal wave in the day after tomorrow.
What's the answer then?
Ice Age. Well, no one's ever...
Got one wrong.
Do you know what? I didn't know that. I haven't seen that tomorrow. I assumed it was a meteor. I just assumed it was. Ice Age is mad.
A day after tomorrow, you would say.
Did it start with them all going a bit chilly?
They made Deep Impact, Armageddon, and then years later they went, do you know what? We need another one.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
Absolute fucking mental.
I think it's less mental than it being an Ice Age, because that would suggest that, like, how can you have an Ice Age? It happens, what, over 48 hours?
Yeah, there is a tidal wave in it.
Thank you.
But it's an Ice Age.
But it's an ice wave.
That's ridiculous. That's mad.
But I don't know why. There's probably rules somewhere.
Mm-hmm. The thing about me is that I watch very few films, and I know not much about them either, and I certainly don't remember them.
Yes.
Have you seen Predator?
Yep, but I reckon I probably watched it around 1991, and that was it.
About the time of Predator 2 coming out.
Is that right?
That's a bit weird. You're just one film behind. this is what it says on the back. Have you got what it takes to be crowned champion? Oh, there is an instruction thing. I don't understand why there is an extra thing highlighted.
Yes, I'm interested, though.
But it will say here somewhere. Natalie, maybe you could read up on that in the week and tell us next week.
You can do the full rules, please, next week.
Nat.
Yes.
Who stars as Jean Valjean in... Jean Valjean. In Les Miserables.
Oh, well, I know it'll be one or two people. It'll be thingy, won't it?
It's weird, because there's so many versions of that as well.
Yes, there is.
There was one with fucking Taken in it. What's his name?
Liam Neeson. Knew that.
Is it A, Mel Gibson, B, Russell Crowe, C, Hugh Jackman, D, Eddie Redmayne Man?
Well, I presume it's singing, isn't it? It'll be Hugh Jackman, but it could be the other fella, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
I stole a loaf of bread.
Ooh, lovely.
Oh, lovely stuff.
I stole a loaf of bread. I stole a loaf of bread.
You are nearly crying. Which I don't know whether that's... I don't know if we should tell someone or if we should tell...
It's been a real hard year, Dad. That's from...
Dad or Dan?
Dad, that's from... you're not Dan.
No, of course.
It's a cookie. It's from... well, Ten of Bombs.
Oh, it is too, yeah. That's a really nice
Have
bit.
You seen... it's the bit that makes me cry every time.
It's tough, mate.
Oh, fucking hell, that movie. I love that movie.
Which one?
The Royal Tenenbaums?
Doesn't matter, you won't remember.
I haven't seen that. Sounds rubbish.
The Royal Tenenbaums, it's a great fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And it's a comedy.
Okay, I like comedies.
You like...
I dabble in jokes.
Do you like funny things?
Yeah, love them.
What are you up to at the moment? Probably get that out of the way. We've wasted 24 minutes of having you in the room. We've barely talked to you once.
That's fine. What am I up to? What, career-wise or professionally? I mean, no.
Are they
career-wise
not the same
or
thing?
Personally? No, because I don't make any money.
My career is going terribly, but professionally, I'm making some money.
Well, career-wise, it's the same old rubbish. Personally, I'm trying to find a place to live. It's doing my head in.
What area do you live in?
Oh, South East London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, what a fucking ball ache to get here.
Yeah.
I just live around the corner.
But it's a journey I'm used to, because the Pleasance is just up the road.
Of course. It's not up the road, it's next door.
It's next door, right. Well, yeah. I've been there many a time.
What entrance did you come through?
The one down there.
Go up the stairs to the Pleasance, and then we just go there.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I don't think you get in
we'll
that way.
We'll show you on the way out.
Yeah.
We might have get it wrong. Do we just ring you up? Do we ring you up and have to get us to let you let us in?
Phone up Natalie every week about...
Can you let us in? We're at the side door.
About 11:24, we say we're here. Then we sit down, act like we own the place, and then bloody do 2 hours of five-star comedy. radio broadcasting. Radio. I shaved.
You did?
I went out for dinner with my friend last night.
Where'd you go?
I can't remember the name of the place, but Boom Boom Bangers.
Sounds like
what's it called? Boom Boom Bangers?
It's Boom 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 Boomerang.
Do they sell sausages?
No.
Exploding sausages?
It was like a... they did like kebabs and stuff. I had mutton.
Mutton?
Mutton kebab?
I don't know what it was, really. It was fine.
Sounds like good.
Under seasoned, I thought.
Yeah. Sides?
Steven Seagal.
Sides was absolutely delicious. It was... char-grilled cauliflower. It's incredible.
That sounds... Eating out's my favourite pastime.
Yeah, mine too, guys. Talking about pussy. it had...
is it always like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's got a weird vibe today. It's
really sexual, isn't
today
it?
Today is really weird because I've turned up... I've turned up with a certain vibe, mm-hmm. and normally,
I love
normally Nat is really on board. And today, Nat, there's not been one point where Nat has really enjoyed anything that I've said.
No,
he's always been sort of like wincing and kind of like going, "Oh no, this might sink us both." And I'm like,
I've been enjoying watching it, but I feel like I haven't really been chipping in.
No.
I've just been watching it.
Yeah,
but I've been enjoying it.
It's been a bit of a car crash. Anyway, I shaved last night.
For your meal.
I had a huge beard. I had a huge beard.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
And I looked in the mirror and I thought, how fucking old do I look? So I shaved it all off, and except for my moustache. And then I woke up in the morning. I woke up today.
Yeah.
Didn't set my alarm. Curtains were open. Like daylight pouring through. It happened to be 10:30, but it could have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Didn't set my alarm to do the show. Did nothing, right? And I woke up and I was sort of like going about my day. Looked in the mirror. I had a huge prospector's moustache. Like huge, like really long, like to the point that, you know, it went in my mouth when I was breathing, you know,
like that cartoon character with the
Sam.
That's it, right?
Yeah, it was just a huge moustache, and I was like, huh, as good as that was it. Last night.
At least you can grow a moustache. I dream of those days.
Do you know what? I've got quite a weak... I've got weak facial hair.
I was thinking that.
You've got weak facial hair.
Thinking
but, you know,
I have,
you know. And I've got some sort of facial hair now, but for years I didn't. And I think I've just been waiting years and years. I was hoping I'd be like Elvis. When I was at school, when I was about 11, I dreamed of sideburns.
Oh.
I absolutely dreamed of them. That's all I wanted.
Mm. Well, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
How like, is it just very fair?
It's virtually non-existent, mate.
If someone said we've got a...
Does it blow away when the wind blows?
What do you mean?
Your facial hair.
Does it blow away as in the wind physically blows it off?
Yeah. You see some people with, like, bum fluff, you know, and you go, well, I bet that blows away with
what
the wind.
What would happen if someone said we've got...
Well, obviously, it couldn't actually do that.
Yeah.
We're doing a new costume drama.
The way you said yeah then. Oh, it's so funny. We're joined in the studio by Cookie.
If you're in a costume drama,
I've been in a costume drama. I was in Poldark.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it good?
It was great.
Did he get his top off?
I did. No. Oh.
Is that the one with the top off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he gets his top off, doesn't he? That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's right.
In the past.
And we just egg him on. Top off, top off.
And then exit on.
Exit on. Yeah, I like that.
Yes. Could you? They said you need to grow a moustache for a part in a costume drama.
They
would you
stuck
have to
it
say,
on.
They, did you have one? Stuck on?
They stuck on big sideburns.
Did they?
Yes.
Lovely.
Oh, I bet you look wicked.
So, yeah, I bet it did.
I really did.
But
I
in
really
real life,
at the end of the day,
were
they just like, should we take that off? And you were just like, no, that's all right, I'll wear them home.
No, I said, take them off, please, because they're itchy. And I've got to go out for dinner, because we're in Bristol.
Okay.
I'm not in London.
How many episodes were you in?
Four.
Were you really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I've not seen Polder.
I've not seen a single episode. You've not watched it?
Nah. Not my cup of tea, really, is it?
Oh, I feel like I might have watched it if you're in it.
I would have watched
it.
Yeah. I would have watched it. I watched Holby City because Toby Williams was in it.
Yeah. Poldark, is it, like, I don't know. Is it good? Is it good?
Don't know. Wins awards.
No. Does it win awards? Did you win an award?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah, really good fun.
Did you get your top off?
Yeah, got my top off.
How long were you in Bristol for? 4 weeks?
13 days.
13 days in Bristol.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
What'd you get up to?
Maybe.
Bit of acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do any banging? It's a joke. It's a joke. Just to say it's a joke. It's just a joke. What was it like in Bristol?
What's Poldark like in real life?
He's lovely. Like, is he? He's lovely, yeah.
So, but you're not promoting that?
No.
You're looking for a place to live?
Yeah.
If anyone knows of anywhere.
Yeah, if anyone knows anywhere, give me a shout.
Are you doing your show again?
I am.
You're doing Edinburgh? Oh, no, we can't start talking about Edinburgh already,
no,
can we?
I don't want to talk about Edinburgh. I don't know whether
you're
going to
be doing a new Edinburgh show.
Yes, but whether it be this year or next year, I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
It's a weird vibe this week.
I'm getting married in June, you see.
No, I know. Congratulations.
Getting married in June?
Yes, and I don't want to. Well, it's, you know, it's expensive going up there.
Where are you getting married?
Lyme Regis, Dorset.
Oh.
Am I getting my top off?
No. I was just. If you need my address, I'm moving for the invite. Remove. So
you could do a care of food bar radio if you want.
I'm fine, but my girlfriend is vegan and gluten free.
Okay.
So I can eat anything, but just so you know.
Noted. I famously can eat anything.
I can't eat anything. Can't eat glass.
What is this?
I think this is arty.
What is this?
I think it's clever and arty.
Arty DT.
In fact, we did this last week, didn't we?
By the end of our lives, we're going to have accumulated quite a few characters. Arty DT.
He's one of our
Steven Seagull, and of course Cookie.
But not a character, real person.
The only one that's real.
Yep.
He's one of our characters.
He's the only one that if you prick him, he will bleed.
Ooh, that's deep.
Should we do that next? Should we have got a pin?
I don't know.
And then they pricked
me. I gave him such a pricking. Imagine if he said that instead of when you're like, you
he's
know,
pricked to
when,
death.
When you're talking sexually, oh God, I'm going to give you such a pricking. I'm going to. When you're talking sexually, oh, I'm going to give you such a pricking.
What a great prick.
Grab my prick. No, nobody says prick as in. Do you know what I mean? Nobody says prick as in sexually.
No.
Do you know? Oh, God, yeah, that's right. Rub my prick. Get my prick out. I'm going to get my prick out and rub it all over your boobies. what? I do. If you're listening, Mum and Dad, I hope France is treating you well. It's oh God, what a day! I mean, I am I'm not in a good mood, but I am. I think this is maybe the worst.
I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
I think this is the worst fan club we've ever done.
You saw one of my favourites.
The thing is, I'm having a great time. But this, in my head, is what it's like all the time.
It is like this.
Oh, is it?
It's a lot like this.
It's a lot like this.
Oh yeah. It depends if I've been if I've had
a moustache.
If I've had a. If I've had a pricking recently, if I've been out pricking the night before or not.
Are you winking at them? You looked at a computer screen and winked.
It was like my imaginary TV. It's my imaginary camera crew that follows me around everywhere. Right. I do a little. Do you do that? Have an imaginary camera crew that follows you around?
Absolutely not, you raging narcissist.
No, I'm not a narcissist. It's an imaginary camera crew.
Do you reckon Tom Hiddleston has an imaginary camera crew that follows him around?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, no! Don't link me in with Tom Hiddleston. I'm not like Tom Hiddleston.
Can he do an impression of Robert De Niro?
To Robert De Niro. Oh my God! It's just incredible. It's just incredible. He does all. Oh my God!
I think he's a fascinating man.
The Graham Norton clip of him doing the impressions. Yeah. It's just like it makes you want to tear your prick off. Do you know what I mean? It's just like it's so good. It's just awful. It's just.
Is he cringy or are the impressions bad?
Both.
Right.
So you do an impression. Robert De Niro's there on the sofa with him. So you do an impression of him, don't you? He does a bunch of impressions.
He does Al Pacino badly. He does Owen Wilson badly. He does. And then Robert De Niro's there, and Robert De Niro's sort of like waiting for this impression. Bearing in mind that everyone can do a Robert De Niro impression. And Tom Hiddleston gets it. And people are like clapping, but he's got this huge routine. He sat next to Kenneth Branagh. People are kind of like, before you do a chat show, there's a researcher that phones you up and they say, okay, so we're just going to have a little interview with you. And they do a pre-interview where you basically say, they said, what have you been up to at the moment? What are you promoting? What are you doing? Have you got any like stories that we can talk to you about? And so he will have gone, do you know what? Robert De Niro's on. I can actually do a Robert De Niro impression. And they'd have gone, oh, brilliant. We'll get Graham to mention it. And so Graham Norton goes over to Tom Hiddleston and says, well, you can actually do a Robert De Niro impression. I can't remember who's on the sofa, but it's Robert De Niro, Kenneth Branagh, Tom Hiddleston.
Does he do the faux, like, oh, God, I can't believe you've asked me this?
Yeah, and then he goes, no, actually, it's worse than that. When impressions come up, he's salivating. He's literally, he starts getting really fidgety. Who's that? Anne Hathaway. He gets really fidgety, and he starts basically like rubbing his hands and getting really like, oh, this is my
fizzy
bit.
In the prick.
And then he goes. And then he goes. You can see his prick twitch, and then he goes into sort of like a 7-minute routine where he goes through a lot of his impressions, culminating in him doing a Robert De Niro impression to Robert De Niro, and it's a terrible impression. And people are it's just one of the most.
What does De Niro think? Is he just staring at him?
Robert De Niro's being very gracious, right? Okay. Robert De Niro's a tough one because Robert De Niro, he's not very. I mean, look, there's a picture of him doing it. There's Robert De Niro's a weird one on chat shows because he's not very outgoing and he's not very sort of like chatty and all that. I think the best time I've ever seen him on a chat show was when they were promoting Grudge Match.
Oh, I don't know. I've not seen that.
It was Grudge Match was with Stallone. So
and they're both there.
Rocky and Raging Bull that are both playing boxers in a movie together, and they were both on. And I can't remember who the young actors were, but there were some young actors on, and Stallone was incredible on that. He was just basically he kept like going to Robert De Niro, he kept like turning around going, well, you did that, didn't you? Go and tell them the story. And then Robert De Niro would tell a story and Stallone was like, yeah. And then Stallone was like going around going, because these young actors, they're great, right? They're the new guys. And Robert De Niro, he basically was being really inclusive. He was just like bringing the new guys in, but he was also sort of like could see that De Niro was happy just being quiet, sat on the end of the sofa, and he kept bringing him in. Anyway, YouTube it. It's great.
Gonna.
How have we gotten to this?
Lost our way. Cookie.
Oh, I mean, don't bring me into this.
Ask Cookie what he's a fan of. I suppose you could do that.
Yeah, we could do that.
Henry Cavill plays which superhero on
Superman.
Screen?
Superman.
Yes.
Clues in the name, innit? Henry Cavill. So. No, it wasn't. It was a non-joke. So, what are you a fan of?
Well, yeah.
We were talking about something that got us onto that.
Yeah, Hiddleston.
Hiddleston.
De Niro.
Edinburgh.
Oh, it was imaginary camera crew.
That's right.
Yeah, but what are you a fan of?
Well, when I was asked this, I couldn't really think of anything, if I'm honest. Well, but I have come up with an answer. Don't worry. Good. I'm not going to leave you hanging. TV chef Rick Stein.
Oh.
Me too.
Really?
Have you seen... Rick Stein is my absolute...
He's my number one.
He's like my comfort TV.
Yeah.
He reminds me a lot of my dad.
Okay.
And I fucking... they don't look the same, but his...
demeanour.
I'm not big on TV chefs. I'm trying to picture Rick Stein. Is he the white-haired one? Goes fishing.
That's right.
He used to have a dog called Chalky.
Yeah, dead.
Okay. He's dead.
Chalky died.
Mm-hmm. Did he cook him?
Nope, not that time.
Okay.
It was actually really sad, Matt.
That's his
love Rick Stein. He's a very awkward presenter.
Do you think?
Yeah,
I think
he's one of the most awkward people I've ever seen on TV.
Oh, I disagree. I think he's...
I'm not saying that in a bad way. I don't like him ironically.
Right.
I love him. I think he's amazing, but I do think he's an awkward TV presenter.
I guess he's a bit awkward when he does a piece to camera, like, and do you know what? Not many people say this about their own cooking, but it's absolutely delicious, and he's been made to say it, and then he starts laughing.
Well, the crew have bloody mopped up all of the sauce with their bread. The proof is in the pudding.
Right, he's never said that.
Well, it's the sort of thing that you can imagine him saying. He's awkward when he does the bits to camera. He's awkward when he interviews anyone. He's awkward when they do, like, a cutaway. He's awkward when they do a pre-rehearsed joke.
Sure.
Like, he'll go, hey, Rick, where are you going this weekend? what's that one called?
Long Weekends.
Long Weekends.
Yeah.
Look, Rick Stein's Fantastic. Long Weekends. Amazing show, right?
Lisbon.
Are you going to Lisbon or France? And it's great. I love it. But every week he's just kind of like, he does some sort of like bad stand-up where he's kind of like got his suitcase and he's like going, that's the thing. I've got my room key. But the thing is, the blasted things, they never normally work on the door. This one works. The room looks nice. It looks nice. There's a bed and a desk. That's all you need, really. Now the view. A car park. I guess you can't have everything. And you go, how many takes did it take you to get that bit right? And
sounds like an odd show.
It's a really good show.
It's great.
Yeah.
And his relationship with the producer
died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a couple of days ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he tweeted about it.
Really? Well, he has that relationship where they've kind of like, they've obviously said something funny, and then they've gone, we'll do that in the show.
Yeah.
And then they re-rehearse.
Those are the awkward bits, I think. They're super awkward.
When he goes on, he'll go on a rant, and then he'll go, I've lost my thread now. And you go, but it was all planned, you know.
I just like him. He goes to a city and gets furious for a while.
Yeah.
What's he get furious about?
Everything. He just gets... But it's like a...
He doesn't look like a furious man. He looks like quite a kindly...
He's a very kindly man as well.
Jack
Don't D get me
used
wrong.
To have a routine about him.
Oh, really?
Well, not a routine, but a joke. He goes, fucking Rick Stein. He goes, because you go to Europe or France and you go there and you eat your bread and you drink the wine and you think, it's nice. And you come back to England and you think, and they're not doing that. And you think, why? And then, because you're not in fucking France!
that sums him up, actually.
I just love it. I will watch him. He's my... I love... Obviously, I did my own food show. I love food shows.
Watched them all. Big fan.
That was you.
Yeah.
Thanks. It was, but I love food shows. But,
I love food shows.
But there's some people in food shows. There's some presenters that I cannot abide.
Who?
I don't want to say.
Oh, go on. I go deep into my spare time is spent watching Good Food Channel or the Food Network.
Yeah, me too. That's just what. That's the yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't watch comedy because I get it brings so awful stuff out of me. So
okay,
like
yeah.
Jokes.
Are you someone that cooks as well?
Yeah, love cooking. Love eating out.
Of course it is.
Love
it's in your fucking
cooking.
Name, mate.
It's cookie cooks.
It's in the
Cookie
jeans.
Monster. That could be a show.
You've could
got
be.
A name. Yeah, but you've got a name that you
did
could
you
even...
Did you watch my show?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's great. It's you going to a restaurant, eating food.
Talking about the food.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Who wouldn't want to
watch it? I'm going to watch Pole Dart.
What are your favourite TV shows with food ones, then, on the old Good Food? Got Rick Stein.
Rick Stein is my absolute favourite. Do you know who's really good? The new guy that does Man vs. Food. I don't really like Man vs. Food.
Interesting.
The new guy's really good.
Casey Webb or something like that.
I think he's a good presenter. Yeah. And I think he's better, actually, than... maybe that's sacrilegious.
I don't know. I think there's something a bit off with old Alan Richmond. He's got that sort of faux... kindness and enthusiasm, but he also got this thing about him where I think he could turn on your fucking arsehole.
He hated making it. The first series, he looks like he's like brilliant. I've got a TV show.
Right.
Second series, he is dead behind the eyes, and third series, he's on a green screen, and he's like saying, "Look at all these people doing these crazy challenges." And
yes,
he's just like, "Yeah, because your stomach is like, I'm going to eat a steak that's bigger than a motorcycle seat." And you go, "Your stomach's not that big. Yeah. Why are you going to eat that? Why is anyone serving that? Why it's just a disgusting show, I think. but why is anyone serving any of that?" And the better challenges, it's not like the quantity challenges, but like when it's sort of like, "Oh, I'm going to eat this." Sushi that's got
progressively hotter sauce.
Hotter and hotter, and then you go, yeah, I like that, because it's kind of like, can you cope with that? I think those challenges are great. When it's a quantity challenge, you just like go, oh, it's disgusting. Like, there are people that are starving in the world, and you're basically, and also this is just an example of something that that restaurant regularly does, and you go, I don't think that's something
I
to be proud
to
of.
A restaurant or like a burger place with friends of mine from university, and they were doing, there was one of those, "Oh, if you can eat this steak, 2 pints of ice cream," and it's like, "The food's free." And I was like, "Oh, let's do it." And I was like,
"And
no.
Your day's ruined."
Yeah, I was like, "No, because we're going to be sat in here for like 3 hours. And they're like, "Oh, come on." And I was like, "No, I just want a normal amount of food."
Yeah.
And they did it, and I was waiting around for them. And watching them eat it was like, it was both hilarious and I was disgusted.
They
and both
it.
Of them,
they
yeah, both it. Of them, during like this 3 hour thing where we sat in what's like a burger place, and it is like 3 hours of your life, and you're going, "I can't believe we're still in here." And it's like, we got here for lunch and it's like 5 now, and like during the thing they both had to get up and like go, "I really need a shit now," and like, so almost like, and you know that's where they've gone,
and you
it's
can't
like,
talk about
no.
anything else,
but
well.
You've eaten so much that it's coming out the other end.
It's just like both of them had to be like,
"You're tapping
had to
it
like
through.
Leave," like they go like, "I need to go," and then so like, and then like
the
then it's like it's, there's no pleasure to it whatsoever.
That's the thing about those food challenges, is that you're not allowed to go to the toilet. No, but
yeah, I guess because yeah.
they
could be sick.
Because you could be
or...
sick, yeah. You know, so basically they just go, "No, you've got to sit here and do it."
There's some of them have the technique, they stand up and they jump and try and shake it down.
Shake it through. Well, you could, I suppose you could always shit yourself, couldn't you? You could shit yourself.
He's sick after one of them, isn't he, old Adam Richmond? Can't remember which one.
I think it's it's horrible. I tell you who I fucking love.
Go on.
It's not controversial, but I've grown to absolutely love him. Guy Fieri.
Okay.
From
Diners,
Drive-Ins and Dives.
Yeah, yeah.
I love him.
I
think he's
that.
A really brilliant presenter. Sorry, go on.
Well, no, I don't have a problem with him. I have a problem with the way that the show's shot, in that no shot stays on...
The food.
For more than 2 seconds.
Sure.
Bam, 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 bam. It gives me a headache.
Yeah. No, maybe. I think there is a problem with sort of food shows where you don't actually see the food at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, Pleasant Company included.
Did you see the food in your one?
There was the episode where I cook on the last episode.
The last one, yeah.
And we didn't have a clear shot of any of the food that I cooked. And it was kind of like, oh, why did we... When we were in the edit, why haven't we got any footage of
the last episode? Footage? Felt like a felt different though. Felt more like a sort of almost sitcom type.
It's a different director as well. Oh, we had a different director for that one.
I think you talk about food challenges. Did you ever see what was that? Super Size Me. Mm-hmm. I really hated that film because it was just about the idea that someone could eat a McDonald's every meal
for a month. Was it? Yeah.
And I remember the thing that annoyed me about him was. He has a Big Mac on day one and is sick. And he doesn't grow up, mate. It's day one.
He has a double quarter pounder with cheese and he's sick out the car window, isn't he, onto the floor.
But day one.
Really?
Day one, come on. Of course, and at the end of it, it's like, it turns out it's quite unhealthy. And it's like, like it's not a film. It's just awful. I hated it.
Morgan Spurlock, he's a man that ran out of ideas while he was making his
first film. While he's making
film.
That film. But the idea that the first film, like this first, it's like you're totally unsuited to this because it's like, you can't even have a Big Mac without being
sick. Why
are
you doing this thing? Yeah. And also, nobody throws up after a Big
Mac. No, that's what I mean. So it's not that much.
You're going, oh, McDonald's, it's disgusting, isn't it? And I'm going to go out of my way to show you how disgusting it is. I'm going to be sick, actually. Yeah. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be.
Exactly.
Off,
and it's that.
Absolutely, fuck off.
People eat Big Macs all the time, mate? And they certainly aren't sick all the time.
I love Big Macs.
Fuck off. Prick off, mate.
Yes.
Prick off.
If I tell you a good one to watch on iPlayer at the moment, they've put the whole of. What's his face? Keith Floyd's first series.
Oh yeah.
It's really,
well, Rick
really
Stein
good.
Started off as a sous chef for Keith Floyd.
Oh, is it? Mm. And he's in one of the Keith Floyd episodes as well.
Yeah, when he's really young. One of the greatest bits of TV is, I would say, when the Hairy Bikers go to America and they do an episode on soul food.
Sure.
And they try and tackle... segregation. It's absolutely like one of the most.
Hey, Kingy, I think it's really bad.
Because apparently you used to have to stand up on buses. It's like, oh, no. It's just awful. You go we really like the collard greens and the fried chicken. Tell us a little bit about segregation. It's just like, you go, no, talk about the food. Don't try and tackle any of this. You two, this is the worst hour of TV. So this is not you guys. You're not equipped to deal with these subject matters.
Amazing.
On your TV show. It's like really hard hitting. It was absolutely.
Kingy, have you heard of Rosa Parks? Go on,
unbelievable.
Si. I always think they're on
because
the verge of tears.
She fought for her rights. Oh, Kingy. I don't know. There's something about all that makes me sad inside.
Do you want to hug me, old mucker?
It's like they're in an abusive relationship, I think. But
they always look like they've just finished like a therapy session and then the camera's gone, right, action, and they've just had to wipe the tears away.
If they're in an abusive relationship, who's abusing who?
The big guy's abusing the little one.
Oh, okay. No, it's the other way around.
Do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think?
You watch that dynamic, the witchy looking one, he's the one that's controlling the big bear one. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. They clearly, I suspect that they weren't bikers.
No.
I think that they were hairy guys that were, they're not even that hairy, they've got a beard. So they've got beards. They
worked in TV production.
They were in a band, right? They've got a band. They want to be.
I think they were set designers or something.
And then it was just like, well,
I think other. Yeah, I think that's right.
And they were like, well, you look like bikers. And it's like, okay, we'll learn how to ride a bike.
Do you know how to make beef bourguignon? I do, Kingy.
I find that show fascinating. But the one when they go to, like, I can't remember where they go, Tennessee or New Orleans or somewhere. Mm-hmm. Seek that out.
Nuremberg.
I watch that.
Romania. Today we're in Auschwitz. Oh, Kingy.
Do you want to hug me, old mucker?
So, yeah, but like Rick Stein, absolutely. I'll tell you who's amazing. Also, his Rick Stein's son.
Oh, I haven't watched any of them. Oh,
Jack. Is it Jack Stein?
Yeah, yeah.
He's great. His show is brilliant.
Different vibe, though, isn't it?
It's slightly, but he's definitely his father's son. But also, he's... I just think he's a great presenter. He's kind of like... He doesn't have the same awkwardness as Rick. But he's definitely... And the awkwardness is not like... Like I say, it's not ironic. I absolutely love Rick Stein.
I love it.
I love the awkwardness of the show, but not like, oh, I'm enjoying this. It's just kind of like, I just think he's just a really... It makes him feel like he's a genuine man.
And all the food looks delicious.
When I say he reminds me of my dad, it makes me think that, you know, this is sort of my dad. If my dad had to make a food show,
it
would be like this.
Right, yeah.
You know, where he's not a natural presenter, but he loves food and he's passionate about it. Yeah. I think his son is like TV ready.
That's what I want, though, because honestly, I'm not going to be able to cope when Rick Stein dies.
But that's going to be the same with all of our heroes. I was thinking about when Sylvester Stallone dies.
Oh yeah,
in the week, and I always worry about when Alice Cooper's going to die. Right, we've got to go and play the game now.
Okay.
I know you're saying that the guys are ready to come in, but they're not going to come in 5 minutes towards the end of our show. Sure, but it's still our show, right? So, there might be a point when we don't play the game.
We don't have to play the game.
We don't have to play the game.
We don't have to play.
I think
the
we
game.
Will play the game, but I'm just going to say that you can't just like.
Okay, this is going down. This is better or worse. You have to say whether the next person is better or worse than the person before.
I just want to say that, you told us that we had to talk about what he's passionate about. He said food shows. We talked about that for, 20 minutes? And now that's not... You're not happy with that either. I'm just saying. We're going to play the game. Sorry.
Benicio Del Toro is the first one. Cooking.
Yeah.
But it's Emma Stone, better or worse than Benicio Del Toro?
Better.
She is better. Is Christian Bale better or worse than Emma Stone?
Worse.
He is worse. Is Anne Hathaway better or worse than Christian Bale?
Better.
Oh, better.
Are you going through Batman?
No.
Okay.
And is Alec Baldwin better or worse than Anne Hathaway?
Better.
Yeah. Is Will Ferrell better or worse than Alec Baldwin?
Worse.
Better.
I think he is better. I think he's better. Is Gina Davis better or worse than Will Ferrell?
Better.
I don't know. I don't really know who Gina Davis is.
Oh, come on. Thelma and Louise.
Go for one.
Accidental Tourist. Long Kiss Goodnight.
Better. Worse.
Cutthroat Island. Better.
Worse.
The Fly.
Better. Better.
I love Gina Davis.
Josh Brolin. Better or worse than Gina Davis?
Josh Brolin? Worse.
Worse.
Yeah, worse. Nicole Kidman. Better or worse than Josh Brolin?
Better.
Is Bernard Cribbins better or worse than Nicole Kidman?
Better.
Better.
Better, yes. I think you got 9 out of 10.
Okay, I don't know what that was. Or...
Is that it? We should probably finish now. We've got 3 minutes left, so we should probably go off the air 3 minutes early. And everyone happy with that? So, I've got a phone call here.
Oh, I know him.
Interesting. I'm on live radio, I'm afraid.
Really not listening. Well,
Cookie, it was so good to have
you. Thank you for coming.
I had so much fun.
It's been lovely. And it's nice to talk about something other than films. We didn't talk about The Predator.
We didn't. Maybe next week.
What a film. I just think it's one of the worst films I've ever seen. It's like The Last Jedi. Where you go, oh, have you not seen any of the other films? You've made a film. It's technically a film. It's technically not a bad film, but it's not a good Predator film. It's not a good Star Wars film. You've made a film. Anyway, so thank you for coming in. You've got any shows coming up?
Yeah, I'm doing my show Carpet at the BAC on the 14th and 15th.
That's the
February.
One I saw one of the first
that's
previews
right,
of.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I supported you right from the beginning with that.
Thank you.
So we've got our final minute. We're going to play a song to leave. This is your song. Thank you. Thank you all for listening.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.